Amen. Good to be in the house of God tonight. Amen. I forget everything. I truly do. Amen. Terrible with names. And I have to see something or be there to remember it, I guess. And when it comes to words, you can just about forget it. Anyhow. But it's a joy to be with you tonight. Appreciate the opportunity to be back at Island Ford Baptist Church. And appreciate the ministry of this church. Appreciate your pastor and appreciate his faithfulness and his preaching. He's always been a blessing to me, and appreciate his spirit and his family. I dearly love them and think highly of him. And but it's a joy to be with you tonight. We're so thankful for the opportunity. We serve a great God, don't we? Yes, amen. And I appreciate the opportunity to serve him. I want to say thank you to the church. I don't know, everybody knows this, our situation, but I'm sure if you have prayed for us, we want to be so thankful for that during this time. Of course, those who may not know, our son Jack got killed this past summer last year, and we went through a dark valley, but I'm thankful. I'm telling it everywhere I go, and I mean every word that I say. We wouldn't be here tonight if God wasn't faithful. And we wouldn't be here tonight if God's people had not been faithful. And I'm so thankful for God's people and their faithfulness to lift us up in prayer and to be a comfort and encouragement to us. We are thankful for that. And it is a joy to be able to serve God's people in these days. All right, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 tonight, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I truly wrestled with different thoughts in my heart and mind that I thought about preaching, and but I feel like the Lord has once again directed my thought to this passage of Scripture, and a familiar passage and a familiar topic to some degree, and however, it's one that I haven't heard too much preaching on lately. It's not a popular one, but I'm thankful for the truth that we can glean from the Word of God concerning this subject, and I trust the Lord will truly admonish us tonight with His Word. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 1. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." I wonder if you can say that tonight. "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for the privilege that it is to be saved by the good grace of God. I want to thank you one more time for Calvary. I want to thank you, Lord, for bleeding and dying in my place. I want to thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation, Lord, that you brought to me that day you convicted me and showed me my need. I am thankful, Lord, for the change that took place. I'm thankful for the life that you've given us. I'm thankful for the privilege that we have to serve you. And so thankful to be in the house of God tonight. Lord, as we call upon your name, Lord, that name that's above every name, we plead, dear God, the blood upon us. Please, dear God, search us. See if there be any wicked way in us. Cleanse us, dear Lord, and wash us from our sin. And would you empty us of ourselves? And would you fill us with the Holy Ghost? I pray, God, that you allow the Word of God this evening to pour out from our heart. I pray that the sword of the Spirit would be wielded by the Holy Ghost. And may you pierce the hearts of men. I ask, dear Lord, that you would speak to every individual that's in the building. I pray that tonight, oh God, tonight we wouldn't leave here changed or unchanged, that we would not leave here unmoved, unawakened, but I pray that tonight, Lord, you would start a work of revival in our soul. May your will be accomplished in these days, and we'll be sure to give you the glory and the honor, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'm going to deal tonight, Lord willing, on the subject of the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. We find in these scriptures that as Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, that he begins this great chapter discussing the desire to be absent from this life and to be present with the Lord. May I say that I'm just 32 years old. I'm a young man. But I'm telling you, I'm longing for home. Amen. I'm longing to leave this world behind. Amen. In its problems and its sorrow and its strife. I'm ready to check on out of here and to be present with my Lord and Savior. Amen. What a day that is going to be. We understand that the judgment seat is concerning those who are saved by the grace of God. It is only those who have this kind of hope inside of them that the judgment seat even applies to. Those who have received the earnest of the Spirit. We understand that there is coming a good day, amen. And what a day it's going to be. A day when the trump is going to sound. When the voice of the archangel will cry out, amen. When the Lord himself will descend with a shout, amen. I believe the Father who only knows the time, amen. Jesus Christ himself said he didn't know the time, amen. But that day's a coming when the Father looks to the Son and says, Son, it is now time. I believe the Lord when he descends with a shout, amen. I believe that's him coming off the throne at the right hand of God and he's coming up going, whoa, praise God. He's ready to come and get his bride. Amen. What a day that is going to be. Amen. There's going to be three different sounds. There's two different groups. It's those that are alive and remain. And those that are dead. Amen. In Christ. That's the two groups. Amen. But he said he's going to come in one moment. Amen. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye. 3, 2, 1. Here I come. Amen. Amen. What a day it's going to be when Jesus comes back. We're going to be raptured out of here. Amen. That word, I understand that's not a Bible word, but I like that word. Amen. We want to be raptured. Amen. Called away. Amen. That word rapture comes from the word harpos, I believe is how it is. And it's the word we get the word the English word harpoon from. And what that is when that whale been stuck with that harpoon and they start tugging him in. Amen. That's what happened when I got saved. I got hooked up. Amen. Got hooked up with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And some days it doesn't even feel like I'm saved. But then about that time there'll be a tugging from another world. Amen. And the more it tugs, the closer I get home. And oh, one of these days that tug is going to be the final tug I feel. Amen. When I'm raptured out of here, taken from this life and in the presence of God for all of eternity. What a day that's going to be. What a day it's going to be. I've got loved ones over there. Amen. All of my grandparents are over there. I've got uncles over there and cousins, some of my dearest friends. Young friends died young in life. They're in heaven this morning and now my son is there and I'm telling you I'm looking forward to the day of stepping out of this life and with the glorified body and glorified eyes see my loved ones again. But I'm looking forward for the day I get to see Jesus. Amen. What a day. What a day. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. The judgment seat is going to be preceded by the resurrection and the rapture of the saints of God. It is going to be preceded with the righteousness of the saints being imputed. Amen. When we step out of here, we'll all be changed in a moment. Amen. We'll step out of this corruption and we'll step into incorruption. Out of mortality into immortality. And we'll stand before God righteous. Amen. Robed in that righteousness. Amen. But as we stand before God changed, we, Jesus Christ himself said, he's coming quickly. And behold, my reward is with me. Amen. So Jesus is coming and he is bringing his reward with him, because after the rapture's taken place, the church has got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. It is going to be a, if I can use this word, a terrible time. It is going to be a joyful time. There'll be a praising time when we see him. Oh, yes. But I'm afraid that at the same time, it is going to be a time filled with terror as we look upon the face of our Lord and Savior and have to give an account for the lives that we've lived. Amen. I want to look at this judgment seat and consider several different things about it, and we'll go as far as the Lord would let us go tonight. Amen. We understand in the text that as Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, he's letting us know that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done. And here's what the phrase I want to focus on real quick. Whether it be good or bad. Now, when we use that language, when we use those words, our mind considers those words as things that are good as far as right things to do, and that's right. And then we look at bad things as sinful things that we do. But if you look at it good and bad, you're going to end up with a gray area. And you see, the judgment seat's going to eliminate gray area. Amen. Matter of fact, what he's going to deal with is he is going to classify the works that we have done as good. The word good there is the word profitable. And the word bad there is the word unprofitable. Now that scares us to death. And the reason being is because we do a whole lot of good things that are just not profitable. We invest a lot of time in good things that are just not spiritually profitable. And at the judgment seat, and we give an account at the judgment seat, those not bad things, just not profitable things, are still going to be classified in the unprofitable. Amen. I don't have nothing wrong with hunting. I enjoy hunting. I enjoy fishing. But the truth of it is, when I stand before God at the judgment seat, all the hours and time and dollars that I spent to enjoy that, but it's not wrong. I'm not preaching against doing it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm just letting you know that when we stand before God and we give an account for what we've done, hunting and fishing is not going in the spiritual classification. Right. It's not going to do you any kind of benefit spiritually. Right. So when we start narrowing it down to that degree, amen, a lot of Baptists like bailing out. Amen. Amen. It's good and bad, profitable and unprofitable. Let me notice the judgment seat of Christ and what's about to take place. We understand the rapture is going to take place. Moment of twinkling. We're going to be gathered together. We're going to see one another. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. It is then that I believe that Jesus is going to reveal this judgment seat. And he is going to take his position at that judgment seat. I want you to notice, first of all, the person who is upon the throne, upon this seat. It is Jesus. Amen. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That judgment is going to be given and delegated, amen, to the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, He is the only one qualified to sit upon such a judgment seat. He is the champion. He is the conqueror. He's the victor. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. The firstborn of God, the first fruit, the forerunner in death. That's who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. Jesus is His name. And He will sit upon this judgment seat, and it's before Him that we must give an account. There is no need for Him to be judged. Amen. There is no need for Him to give an account, because every saint of God who's ever known Him as their Savior has only one report, and that He has been faithful and He's been just. Amen. Praise God. He has been sufficient. He's been all. Amen. All in all, He is perfect in every way, and He has never failed, and He has never forsaken His children. Amen. Amen. The person that sits upon the throne, He's the judge, but He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is to Him, our Savior, who bled and died for us and purchased us with His own blood. Purchased and redeemed us. Amen. Amen. Bought this body, this lump of clay. Purchased it unto Himself to use it for the ministry and for His own purpose. Praise God. It is to Him who bought us. Amen. Who owns us. Our Lord, to whom we must now give an account. And by the way, if your salvation... If your salvation has never submitted to His Lordship, amen, I wouldn't want to die with that kind of salvation. Because Jesus will not be the Savior of your soul until He's become Lord of your body. Amen. He bought the body. You study your Bible, you look at that word redeemed, and that word redeemed is directly connected and correlated throughout the Scripture with your body. This defiled body, He bought it. It's His. Amen. He gave the earnest of the Spirit, and He put it inside to empower it to do His perfect will. One of these days, He's coming back for what He bought. Amen. What He's already put the down payment on. And when He gets it, praise God, it'll be His, and He'll make it what He wanted to make it. Amen. Through all these years that we've known the Lord. Amen. Jesus sits upon the throne, the person who's upon the throne. Number two, I want you to notice the place of the throne. I'm going somewhere, just stay with me. The place of the throne. In 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verse number 17, we understand that we're going to be called up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. And since the judgment seat is following this great translation, I personally believe that the judgment seat is going to take place in the air. I believe tonight, if you'll stay with me, I believe tonight that the judgment seat is going to precede our procession into that city. I believe it'll precede the presentation of the bride to the Father. Because Jesus is not going to present His bride unto God until she's been made ready.
That's right.
So I believe it's going to be in the air, out of sight and out of time. Amen. You think about it now. We raptured out of here 7 years later, goes by on the clock, and we come back, amen, with Jesus, amen, following our great commander, the victor, the King of kings and Lord of lords, to the battle of Armageddon. That's 7 years later. You tell me how He judges those millions and billions of saints, amen, in 7 years. I tell you how, we step out of time. Amen. Time will be have no relation. Right. The Lord will take as long as it takes to make sure His bride is purged.
Amen.
Amen. Going to be in the air. I believe another reason why it's going to be in the air. This is the creation that He made. He put us in. But I was talking to a preacher not too long ago, and this pastor, and he gave this to me and said he had read this, sat down at a barbershop and picked up a popular mechanics magazine. And they were talking about this new invention and device that they were studying on, and now this is secular writing here. And he said, this writer said, you know, when you speak, when you talk, what is coming out is not necessarily just sound, but it is vibration.
Right.
The sound that you're making, the words that you're saying, it comes across that windpipe and through those vocal cords, and those vocal cords make a vibration, which then gives out the sound of us speaking or singing and what have you. So those vibrations enter into the atmosphere. And scientists say that when those vibrations enter into the atmosphere, they never go away. They're there. They're all there, out there in the air. And if it was possible to develop such a machine as to be able to discern and discern and pick apart, if you will, the certain vibrations that they could listen to every conversation, every word since mankind began to speak. What about that? So I believe that at the judgment seat, as we stand before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I believe as we are there in the air, He's going to call the air, the atmosphere, to witness against us. He is going to pull out from the air every word that has come through your mouth, come across those vocal cords, every sentence, every phrase. God is going, we are going to give an account for everything we have ever said. Oh yes, it is going to be played back. Everything you said wrong, everything you said disrespectful, every lie that you told, every filthy word that come through your lips, amen, God has it on record, and He's going to pull the record up.
Yep.
Then I believe that He's going to use every shadow that we've ever cast and every deed that's done. Amen. He is going, I'm telling you, this universe in itself is going to bear witness and record against us at the judgment seat. The place of the judgment seat will be in the air. The place, the purpose of the judgment seat. We understand that the judgment seat and its name is the word Bema. It means a step, a footbreadth. It is the word to define a tribunal seat. It's a step, a pace. It is the official seat of a judge. Now let me say this real quickly. There is a threefold purpose of the judgment seat. And I'm going to try to get all three as we go through this. Threefold purpose of the judgment seat. Number one, it is to classify. The purpose of the judgment seat is to classify the works that we have done. The things and the deeds and the words, everything that we have done with this body, we must give an account. And so God is going to, at the judgment seat, classify. Then He is going to purify.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If it dishonors the Lord, if it is unprofitable, if it is a spot and a blemish upon the bride, He will purify it. Amen. So classify, to purify, so that we can glorify.
Amen.
Amen. That is the threefold purpose of the judgment seat. To classify, to purify, to glorify.
Amen.
If Following the translation, there must be a manifestation, an examination, a purification, a glorification, so that there can be a wonderful presentation of the bride. Amen. Amen. By the way, when John saw the bride, he said she had the glory of God. Amen. Now let me remind you that the judgment seat is not a judicial seat. That is not the purpose of this judgment seat. The judgment seat is a tribunal judgment seat. In other words, this is not where the authenticity of our salvation is going to be judged, but rather our accountability through that examination is going to be brought to light. One writer said, a saint will never again come into judgment on account of his natural or inherited iniquity, for he is dead already judicially with Christ. And is no longer known or dealt with on the footing of his natural responsibility. As a natural man before Christ, we were weighed in the balances and found wanting, born into condemnation to a natural heritage of wrath. But a saint has had his guilt obliterated by the blood of the Redeemer, and he is freely and justly pardoned for his Savior's sake. Because Christ is risen from the dead, he is no longer in his sins. He is justified by faith in the Spirit and presented in the name upon the merits of the just one before God. And with this new and ever-blessed title, the Holy Spirit being the living seal and witness, he, the saint, can never come into judgment.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Amen. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In other words, I am not going to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat to give an account for the sins of my past. The sins that are under the blood, they are gone.
Amen.
Praise God. What I have to give an account for are the deeds I have done. Amen. In the work of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Here's what I need you to grasp. The Lord is not bringing his bride to judgment according to the sin we have committed against him. But rather, he is bringing us unto judgment according to the truth he's committed to us. I'm going to say that again, because I don't know if some of you are hearing me, and you're going to have to stand before the Lord with what you're hearing tonight. We're not giving account. He's not bringing us to judgment according to the sin, amen, that we've committed. But he's bringing us unto judgment according to the truth that he's committed to us. My friend, that thought scares me to death because of all the truth that's been committed unto me. All the truth that God has provided to me. All the truth that I'm responsible to live in and abide by. Oh my, all the truth that I know and how short I come in stacking up to living to that truth that I know. Oh God, help us tonight to realize the seriousness of what's about to take place at the judgment seat. The people that are before the throne. The people before the throne. There'll be those there that will stand before the Lord that have had a determined finish. Amen. There'll be those that have stood before God and they have finished their course. They kept the faith, amen, amen, and they fought the good fight, praise God. There's going to be those, and thank God, I know a few, amen, that have stood by the stuff, amen, kept their hands to the plow, set their face like a flint, amen, and they have finished their course, amen. Amen. I think of men, amen, like Brother Stephen Ballou, and I think of men like Brother Billy Mitchell, who recently have just stepped over yonder in the glory. I'm telling you, I do not want to be anywhere near the throne when those men stand before God. I'm telling you right now, to stand having finished and fought the good fight and to accomplish it. Oh, oh, what reward they must reap. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for men that have determined to finish and finish right. There'll be those that had a determined finish. There'll be those that will stand before God with dwindled future. There'll be those that will stand before God having wasted their time. Time that God gave them. Time that God gave them upon this earth, yes. To enjoy what we have here upon this life. But praise God, to be busy about serving Jesus. Amen. But we've wasted it, and we put it in things that don't matter, that'll never stand up to time, that don't amount to a hill of beans in eternity. We've delegated it, and we've invested it, and we've, amen, put our energy into things that have absolutely wasted our time.
Yep.
Dwindle futures. There are going to be those that stand before God having deserted the fight. There'll be those that have stood before God having deserted us in the battle. And there'll be those that have discontinued their faith. Maybe they didn't compromise. Those that compromise, and then you'll have those that have flat out just denounced. I believe there'll be those that'll be there. This judgment is inclusive to all saints. We must all appear at the judgment seat. This judgment takes place to those who have finished their race, whether or not they finished it at all. Whether or not you did anything for God or not, it ain't going to matter one little bit. You still got to stand before God and give an account. One of the greatest fears, we're all going to stand. One of the greatest fears I've had about the judgment seat, especially even from a boy growing up, one of the greatest things I was concerned about was this, that my life was going to be projected. That the record of my deeds would be exposed before the saints. To think, preacher, that you would then know the thoughts that have went through my mind. The words that I've said, the attitudes of my heart, and on, the things that I've done and what I didn't do. That would be exposed to you. That terrifies me. However, when we stand there, I'm going to care less if you're standing there or not.
That's right. Exactly.
I'm not even going to care who else is witnessing what's being exposed.
That's right.
The only person that I'm even going to know who's present is the Lord Jesus Christ. The darling Savior who loved me and shed His blood to redeem me and put me in the family of God, give me a purpose and give me a reason to live for Him. That's who I will care who's present. That's who I'm going to care who thinks about what I've accomplished. One preacher said this, and I forget his name. I'm terrible with names, and I forget his name, but he said that at the judgment seat of Christ, when we stand before God and our deeds have been revealed in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, that if it was possible, there are those who have made such shipwreck of their lives, that if it was possible, they would cast themselves off into the lake of fire to escape the face of the Lamb. The people before the throne. The proving of the throne. The proving of the throne. This is where I need to be, and I'm taking my time getting here, I reckon. It is the tribunal seat. It's not a judgment seat, it's a tribunal seat. where Jesus sits as the judge. Here's the picture that's being given out. Paul's giving this picture out. We've seen those judges that have judged competitions. I think of the music groups that have went and competed. And you'll find this music group and they'll get up. They've got the great talent, the songs. They've practiced. They've done it well. And they get up and they do that performance and they sing and they do their best. And what you have is you have three judges. Usually three, maybe less, more. But these are judges who have been skilled in their field of music. You may have one that is tuned in to melody and to harmony. One that knows the notes and hears it in the voice. And then you have another one who may be looking at expression and how they pronounce their words and all that's being together and singing together. They have each one their achievements, and their achievements and their accomplishments have qualified them to be able to sit there and judge what they are witnessing, what they are beholding and examining. That is going to be much the same as what Jesus is going to do. However, I believe it's going to be far more in depth because Jesus is sovereign and Jesus knows all. So here's what I believe he's going to do. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're the only people that have to worry about anything I'm saying. Amen. If you're lost tonight, there's another judgment, there's another throne that you better be worried about. Amen. But I'm preaching to the saved folk tonight. If you're not saved, you're in a good place to get saved. Amen. Listen to me tonight. If you're going to stand before God, God the judge is going to sit there. He's the only one qualified. And he knows you better than you know you. He knows your frame. He can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He knows you. And he's a just God.
Yep.
He's a fair God.
Right.
Won't be no questioning when he carries out judgment. Here's what he's going to do. He's going to take your life, sis, and he's going to reveal it. Every word, every deed, everything you've done. And as a judge would perform an athlete, or a fine arts competitor, he is going to look at what you accomplished. He is going to judge what you accomplished. But because he's a sovereign God, he's not just going to know what you did. He's going to know what you could have done.
That's right.
And I believe when he reveals to you what you did, he's going to reveal to you what you could have done. And everything from what your potential was as the child of God to what you actually accomplished is going to be lost. And he, the judge, is going to prove it. I'm going to hit the first one tonight. That's about all I'm going to get to tonight. I'll have to get it tomorrow night. Maybe we'll wrap it up. Number one, I believe he's going to prove your function in the body, the church.
Amen.
I believe, Brother Josh, that when we step into glory and we enjoy that moment of fellowship and that reunion, what a time it's going to be.
Amen.
But when he steps to the throne, God in his omniscience is going to divide, I believe, the bride into the local bodies of the church. I believe I can prove that to you. In Romans chapter number 14, it's the very first mention we have of the judgment seat. And in verse number 7, he begins to tell us, for none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself, but whether we live, we live unto the Lord. Whether we die, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord, both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. But judge this, whether that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. The very first mention of the judgment seat in its context is revolving your relationship to your brother. To the church. The body. Go a step further. Let me throw this out there. Judgment should begin where? The house of God. If that's in order here, it'll be in order over yonder. Amen. Let me give you the third thing. In Hebrews 13, he said, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that much give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. You need to hear me well tonight, church. If you're a part of this church, you need to hear me well. Let me pour my heart out in just a couple minutes. In Galatians chapter number 4, Paul said, I'm afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. He said to the church at Corinth, he said, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you. Did you grab that? That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
Amen.
At this judgment scene, when God puts the church bodies together and has them together, Island Ford Baptist Church together, he is going to reveal what this church accomplished.
Amen.
Everything you did. Every dollar you spent, every ministry, every endeavor,
amen,
everything is going to be revealed.
Amen.
The mark will be set, but then God is going to reveal what this church could have done.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that terrifies me.
Yes, sir.
He's going to reveal what this church could have done. And the difference is loss.
Right.
Now hang on. Before he delegates the loss, he is going to get an explanation. And you don't get to say a thing about it. You don't get to say a word. Not a single one. I'm an evangelist. I'm a part of Pleasant View Baptist Church. But when Pleasant View Baptist Church is called up to give an account, I don't get to say a thing. The only person who says a word is him. The man of God. The one that has to give an account. The one presenting the bride to the church. To God. Here he is. This is how short you come. Man of God, you had the potential. What happened?
Amen.
What happened? And the preacher's got to give an account. Oh,
yes, sir.
Lord, I tried. I gave everything I had. But Lord, when we tried to do anything, this family fought me every step of the way. Like Alexander the coppersmith, they fought me. They resisted me. And they did me much hurt and harm. The old priest, Lord God, this family here, it grieves me to tell you, but Lord, I tried to help them. I tried to instruct them. I tried to let them know how bad we needed them to be involved. But Lord, they just refused to get involved. They refused to be a part of the ministry. They refused to help us out, pass out tracts and be involved with every outreach. They didn't show up. Lord, I know spiritually we weren't as mature as we needed to be. But Lord, I preached the messages that you gave me. They just never showed up to hear it. Lord, I remember when you gave me the message that could have changed their life, but they weren't there. They took a vacation. They missed it. They were out of their place. Everything that comes short. It's not, by the way, it's not unprofitable for him. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves. It's they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you.
Right. Amen.
Not him. Oh, no, no, no. Not him. Lord, I preached. I stood. I prayed. They never changed. They have no intention whatsoever to be involved in the ministry. Brethren, our churches are dying across the country. You hearing me? I get to travel enough. I see enough. Our churches are dying across the country. And it is because the pastor is having to do everything himself. There are very few churches that have pastors who have men and young families that are aiding him in the work of God. And I'm telling you, at the judgment seat, God's going to fix it.
Amen.
He is going to fix it. And I'm telling you, every church member ever been a part of a local church that's ever been saved by the grace of God, who refused to be faithful, refused to be a part, I am telling you, at the judgment seat, you'll bow your head in shame with a reproach as your pastor gives an account of your faithfulness, grieving, weeping. He'll literally say to the man of God, tell it like you felt it. The burden that you had, the burden you had to reach out to the community, the burden that you had in every ministry, in every avenue, that burden that never got relieved because of a people that would get behind you. He'll fix it at the judgment seat. He's going to judge and prove your response to preaching. Every message that's preached from this pulpit, you'll give an account for. Every message that's being preached at Pleasantview Baptist Church in McQuaid, Kentucky, I'm giving an account for. My family's going to give an account for. And how we respond will dictate loss or gain. Your role in participation. Are you a part of the church? I don't know anybody here, so I love preaching like this. You don't know. I mean, no, I don't know anybody. So you can't say I'm picking on you. Hallelujah. You faithful?
Right.
I'm glad you're here tonight, but are you faithful?
Right. Amen.
Are you consistently faithful?
Right. Amen.
Doors are open, you're here.
Right. Amen.
Revival, you're here. You are a part of this church.
Amen.
Your heart, it's tied in with the man of God's heart.
Amen.
Your vision is his vision.
Amen.
Is that
Amen.
A reality to you at all? You just glad your name's on the roll.
Yeah.
For conscience sake.
Yeah.
You show up on Sundays.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you can make an extra $10 an hour and work a Sunday, I'll take the extra $10 and skip out on this church thing. One, if you have a salvation that can't keep you in church on Sunday, don't die with that one. Because it's natural, if you're saved, to be in church.
Amen.
I fell in love with church.
Amen.
I fell in love with it, you hear me?
Amen.
And I've never worked a Sunday my entire life.
Amen.
Outside of preaching. That's hard work.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
I do my best to be in my place. I have to be sick. And
yep.
I mean sick.
Yep.
To be out of place. You know why? Because I know I've got to stand before God.
Right.
Now I'm going to tell you something else, Daddy, Mama. As long as little Junior, little Susie's in your house, I'd make them be in church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't know nothing. I'm just preaching. I'm firing away. Amen.
Right.
Amen. If it barks, amen, don't let me know. I'll figure it out. Let me tell you something. Elkanah, Hannah's husband, he was faithful to a place. And he went year by year. Every time it was time to get to the house of God, he went.
That's right.
Year by year. And the Bible says he went to worship. He was fervent in his praise.
Amen.
He got involved. But I tell you what, Elkanah, what really stamps in my heart with Elkanah, his family was a part.
Amen.
His family, he made sure that every provision his family needed to be in the house of God to worship with him was made.
Amen.
So that they'd be a part. Amen. I'm interested in being a part of the church. The response to preaching. Role in participation. By the way, an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Amen. They're both painful and useless. Amen. Role in participation. Riches in their partnership. And their provision. Amen.
Yep.
By the way, it's spiritual to give.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
God commands your tithes.
Sure
he said, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. By the way, that's two separate things.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I know he preaches it. I just come in here saying, man, what he preaches. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You've robbed God in your tithes and offerings. I believe a lost man ought to tithe. Amen. Lost men ought to tithe and give 10%.
Yep,
but saved people ought to give their tithe and then they ought to throw in, amen, an offering on top of that.
Amen.
That sacrificial giving.
Right.
When Abel came, Abel's a good example. Abel came, he gave her the firstling of his flock. That's that sacrifice. That was commanded.
Right.
But then he gave her the fat thereof.
Amen.
He gave the best that he had. He gave something sacrificial. Something to bring God glory.
Amen.
Amen. By the way, he said, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt. Amen. Where thieves don't break through and steal. Let me tell you something, that word treasure there, it literally means money.
Amen.
Amen. I believe every dollar you give in faith and in sacrifice for the work of God is going to become spiritual currency, if you will, over there. Amen. The realness of their prayers. God's going to prove it. Let his house be called what? A house of prayer.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Do you pray?
Amen.
When it revealed what this church accomplished, I wonder where the prayer life bar is going to be.
Right.
I wonder where fervent praying is going to stack up.
Right.
Most churches don't even have a prayer room anymore, preacher. Most churches don't have any time spent in prayer any longer. You hear stories of days gone by, old timers and days gone by that knew something about spiritual fervent prayer.
Yes, sir.
You don't see that any longer.
Right.
Matter of fact, I'm just preaching now. Matter of fact, in most prayer rooms, prayer time's going to last about 5 minutes.
Yep.
I don't know about you, but we come for revival.
Amen.
Amen. I'm looking for God to do something in my heart, do something in the lives of people, in the lives of my family. But we come, and we spend 5 minutes praying.
Yep.
I understand God can do anything with anything, but you think if he's really desperate, we'd spend a little more time in prayer. How much time have you prayed? How much time do you spend praying for your pastor? Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. The load that's on in the study. God give him a message. God feed his soul so that we can get fed.
Amen.
Is there any kind of that reality of prayer?
Amen.
We're going to have to give him the count, church. We got them to give an account. And it's amazing the apathetic movement that's moved across. We could flat out care less, but I'm telling you there's a coming one day, buddy, when we see him. And every bit of that apathy that has so plagued this human depraved nature is going to flee.
Right.
It'll be over.
Right.
And we'll care. We'll care then.
Yes, sir.
I need you to understand this. I'm almost done. This is eternal ramification. Oh, my dear brother, it's eternal ramification. The recompense of their praise, all praise is due them. Amen. Due him, it is due the Lord.
Amen.
You know what that word due is? It's when your bill is due. You know what that means? It's time to pay your bill when it's due. All praise is due him. It's time to pay our dues. Amen. I'm telling you, if there's been one thing that has grieved me in traveling from church to church to church, is the atmosphere of spiritual worship and praise is gone. I don't know if the Pentecostal crowd, the charismatic crowd scared us or what, but I'm telling you, it's still all right to say amen.
Amen.
It's still all right to say hallelujah, yes, glory to God, bless his name, magnify his name, and lift him up. I'm telling you, we've got to give an account, you understand? And there is a debt. We are way behind in our praising. And I'm telling you, the judgment seat, a part of what he's going to prove is the words of praise and worship that we've spoken, and he's going to look and say, hey, why you come so short in your praise?
Right,
man. Why was there no spirit of worship?
Yep.
May not because we weren't praying, but why wasn't there a spirit of worship here?
Amen.
The recompense of their praise. And lastly, the relationship you have to God's people. God's going to prove it. Do you understand this church ain't going to, it cannot do a thing in the will of God if its people are not in unity.
Right.
It can't do it.
That's right.
But most churches are filled with schisms.
Yep.
Fractions.
Yep.
Divisions. Cliques. Clans.
Yep.
This one fellowships with this one. This one, the closest they can get is from one side of the church to the other. That's as close as they can get to the other crowd. This one's better than that one. This one thinks more highly. I'm telling you, that ain't the body.
Amen.
That ain't the body. My right hand has never been proud over my left hand.
Right.
I've never done that. Just never has.
Right.
My body has never been jealous of any part. Left eye, right eye, right ear, left ear. Never done it. It's a body. It functions together.
Yes, sir.
Boy, I feel like I just sunk into something right here.
Yeah.
Ain't no issues, are there? Oh, no. Not in this church. Yeah, right. Every church has got it.
Sure.
Every church has got problems. You got people, you got problems.
Right.
I'm telling you something, what you better learn, church, is how to get over it, get it dealt with, and amen, forgive and get on with it.
Amen.
Amen. Don't let that thing fester up and bitterness and the root of it come through and trip everybody up. I'm telling you, that bitterness deal is infectious.
Yep.
Amen.
It's destructive.
Yep.
When it gets dug out of there, buddy, you lose a whole lot of ground.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
God's going to judge your relationship with your brother. Amen.
Yes.
Boy, I feel like preaching right there. How is it? Let me tell you something. I'll just preach a minute, all right? Just give me a second. I'm almost done. We're almost out of here. Amen. Welcome to revival.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Men can get mad at each other, get crossways, and then they can get it sorted out and move on just about pretty quick. But women, whoa. You know, I found out, and I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just telling you the truth. Most pastors I talk with, Number one trouble is women. I'm the evangelist. I'm fixing to stir up trouble and leave you with it. Amen. I'm telling you something. You have cost in your mind. Because she looked at you this way, or they looked at you this way. They must think this about you. When really they don't think one thing. They've maybe just been having a bad day. Or you caught them at the wrong glance. You caught the wrong side of their expression. You just missed it. But you think it, and I mean, it just swells up in your mind, and it gets worse, and it gets worse, and it's worse. And then to top it off, so when you're already thinking it, you start looking for it, and the next thing you know, they actually do something that probably might have been out of the way or rude, and then it's like, oh my goodness, it's World War III, here we go. Tell you, God help us to learn how to love one another.
Amen.
Benefit of the doubt, if you will.
Yes,
patient one with another.
Amen.
Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of peace. I'm telling you, there's some labor to be involved with that.
Yeah.
Got to get over yourself.
Yep.
But I'm telling you, every bit of the dysfunctions in the church and the lack of togetherness, it hinders the body, and the bar gets lower and lower and lower. I'm telling you, when the church is coming apart, the preacher about can't do a thing with it.
Right.
So let me ask you a question in closing. If this church, right now, if a rapture took place, right now, and all of a sudden we are perfect in the sight of God, but we got to give an account for what we did with this body. As we stand before God and He calls Island Ford Baptist Church, I wonder where your bar would be.
Yep.
I wonder what your potential is. Well, it scares me to death, brother. I feel like I'm in the greatest church in America, so you have to excuse me. Amen. I'm a little partial, but I think I'm supposed to be.
Yes, sir.
That's my home church. But
right.
Let me tell you something. God has blessed our church with great talent.
Yes, sir.
And great potential.
Yes, sir.
What scares me to death is all potential we have and what we've done with it.
Yep.
And I'm telling you what I fear more than anything. It's for God to look upon that loss, that lack, and come and say, preacher, Pastor Massengale, what happened? God forbid that he should say, well, if Brother Keith and his family were more involved, if they'd have just been there, if they'd have been present, there's no telling what we could have done. I hope that when my name is called, my family gives an account for our role in the body. I hope a smile breaks out on his face. I hope if there are tears, there'll be tears of joy. And I hope, amen, that he can give an account for my role and my function in the body of Christ with joy.
Amen.
How would it be tonight if your pastor had to give an account before God for your function? I don't know what he's going to do with everybody. I don't know what he's going to do with church hoppers. I believe that he's probably going to take every one of them rascals that have jumped from church to church to church every time they ran from trouble. Amen. Or found something they didn't like, got crossways up with somebody. I think he's going to put them right in the church where they're supposed to be. Never were there. And all that loss will be on them. Amen. I don't know what you're going to do with church hopping members. I don't know what you do with church hopping preachers. All I know is at the judgment seat, God's going to sort it out.
Yes, sir.
And he is going to prove your function in the body of the church.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. The church, I love the church, man. Yes. I'm telling you. I love the church. God put church in my heart when he saved me.
Amen.
He didn't do this when he called me to preach. He did it when he saved me as a 7-year-old boy. I fell in love with church. I fell in love with old time worship. I fell in love with old time singing. Amen. I fell in love with hearing preaching when he saved me.
Amen.
Amen. I want to do my part, be in my place, fulfilling my role. Amen. In the body of Christ. So then when I stand before him, amen, when I stand before him, I do not have to be ashamed. And when my pastor gives the account, praise God, he'll do it with joy.
Amen.
Amen. There's two more things he's going to prove. We'll try to deal with those maybe tomorrow night if the Lord will let us. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The pastor's coming. I know I've been a little long-winded tonight. I've tried to get this founded and try to make some headway in the message. I wonder if we'd be honest with ourselves. Search your hearts. How is your function in the body? How is your function in the body? Have you been faithful to it? Are you fervent in your worship and in your praise? Are you ready to give an account at the judgment seat?